Hashtag we love number one sports digital radio station in Africa.
Zahir, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, man. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us on the phone line this morning. We can finally breathe a sigh of relief. Yeah, because there was a time where, and not too long ago, days ago, where we thought we'd be having a conversation about a South African national team, the Proteas, not recognized anymore by their government and ultimately kicked out of the ICC.
Yes, that was the case. I think it was a stressful time for everybody involved in the game. We saw the employees of Cricket South Africa, including the director of Cricket, Graham Smith, pen a letter to the minister not to invoke Section 13 because their livelihoods depended on it. There's so many people outside of the Proteas that depend on this wonderful game that it still is, you know, for a livelihood. And that was very much as much as it was about the Proteas not being able to play international cricket and all of that, it was about from the very top at the offices at Inlova right down to all the franchises and the unions and, you know, and the grant staff and the development programs that are in place. And there are many, many, many people at Cricket South Africa work very, very hard to sustain this game and to provide opportunities for young children, boys and girls around the country to play this game. And all of that would have been in serious jeopardy had the minister carried through on his threat.
Give us, Zahir, your abridged version of how we found ourselves in this position. And I know the problems with CSA go a long way back.
It does go a long way back. And it's we don't have enough time to even touch the surface. But it's the reality of where the governance structures needed to be improved. There was no doubt about that. There's absolutely no doubt that the governance structures had to be improved. And that is why the minister got involved in the first place. I think, though, the Members Council, they also understood their role in the game in terms of the entire board that the issue originally was with. At least 80% of that board has been dissipated, and it was a new board that was put in place. They needed and they wanted the opportunity to steer Cricket South Africa out of these waters, but the minister wasn't prepared for that. He implemented a new board, a new independent board, who had issues of their own regarding their chairperson and a few members that of their own independent board that was appointed by the minister, who did not agree with the way they went about their thing. So it's just been chaos on all fronts in regards to administrative and people could not reach an agreement. You know, they were constantly going back and forth in terms of what actually needed to be achieved. And I think, thankfully, it's all done now. That's the important part that we can look forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's all done now. And I guess we now look forward to better governance as it pertains to CSA. Yeah. And I suppose that's what we want. Just tell us what this MOI means for Cricket South Africa going forward.
So the MOI, it relates to the independent board members. So and that's the thing, and that's where the Members Council called on SASCOC to actually step in, and that was the U-turn at the original meeting, was that the independent board and what they, or at least what the Nicholson report is stating, is that you need to have more independent board members. And what that means is that the Members Council was originally made up of the 14 provincial presidents, the so-called cricket people, where you come through the cricket structures from being a club president to a union president to eventually to 6 years as board. And that's the Members Council. They are made up of those members. Where the independent board is, they generally are, they are chief executives from various business fields, and they now become the majority on CSA's board, and they ran cricket, and SASCOC, they found that to be there was a problem with that, because none of the other boards in South African sport are run like that, not rugby, not football, not, you know, and that would have set a precedent that you know, that all sports would have become privatized within South Africa, and that was a major stumbling block initially. But the fact that now it has been accepted and that the majority of the board members will be independent board members going forward on the MAI.
I mean, you're someone who's very close to the game, Zahir, and I'm wondering, on a personal level, you've seen boards like this internationally and across the world. Is this the best way, in your mind, for us to go?
I think it's the best compromise that we can reach. I think that there needed to be a aspect of the independent board members needed. There had to be an increase in the constituency. Cricket is a professional sport. It's not even sport anymore. It's a business, you know. And cricket needs the acumen of, you know, senior businessmen around, you know, in the country to be involved, because it's a multi-million rand business. We're talking about television rights that run into millions and millions of dollars, and you know, and these things need to be understood, the contracts, the legalities around it, and everything related to that. So that is something that has become more and more prominent in the game. It's no longer just, you know, your so-called normal cricket administrators that can be involved. So you need that acumen, but you also need people at the grassroots that understand the challenges that the game faces, particularly in South Africa. Of what the challenges face at grassroots level to get these, to find the next Themba Bavuma, to find the next Kagiso Rabada, you know, those type of things. And the other thing that we must realize in South Africa is that we are not unique in terms of cricket administration, dramas and politics. If you look around the world, India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, even Australia, they've gone through three CEOs in the last 2 years. They've gone through three CEOs. So we're not unique in this. And as much as the harm that's done to the game over the last few years, the last couple of years, it's not a unique situation. There is cricket politics all around the world, my friend.
Suppose it's for us to, when we're going through something, assume we're going through it in isolation, you know, such as that's what happens when people are going through
that
problems.
That is exactly what happened. That is exactly what happened. We've cocooned ourselves into thinking that this only happens to us.
Yeah.
Cricket South Africa, with everything that has gone, they've had audit passed that's absolutely 100% clean. There's no transparency, no discrepancies there. They've managed to hold on to all their staff during a period of COVID. They've managed to manage that crisis in terms of not having any job loss during that period. You look across at Australia, they've had massive job cuts during COVID, massive retrenchments. As I said, the CEOs have basically changed on a conveyor belt over the last 2 years. In India and Sri Lanka, the constant issues related to the appointment of officials. In Pakistan, it is an ongoing thing to keep government out of the sport. It is an ongoing thing. It is consistently something that is monitored. So at no stage should we believe that we are special in this regard, and that we are unique. That, you know, that it's very sad that it happened, and Cricket South Africa has always been one that's been able to steer clear of such controversy. But the way it has manifested over the last years has been very disappointing, and hopefully now we can look forward.
Absolutely. I need to ask about the MC and their decision to not vote in this MOI. I mean, on two separate occasions, they sat and they couldn't, through that process, a democratic process, conclude to adopt the MOI. I mean, is it solely, as it's been pitched to us, an agenda from members of that council to kind of, you know, adjust
a pursuit? It's a lot more complicated than that. It's a lot more complicated than that. I mean, these are gentlemen that that have given their lives to the game for a very long period. Remember, all these board members, they have their own jobs as well, you know, and they give up their time and the effort to serve cricket. And yes, they do receive a certain stipend, and the narrative is they sit in the boxes and they enjoy the festivities of you know, within that goes around with the game, but they do give up a lot of their time, and to to just basically to summarize it and to think it's a simple situation of the fact that, you know, that they did this on a whim, you know, that is very unfair. I think to both parties, to the independent board as well. So, you know, and in regards to that, they outlined the concerns, the way it was done, that they weren't given time to respond to certain matters. They were the due diligence that they are being accused of not following wasn't followed in these instances. So basically, I think that is where it was them basically saying you're accusing us of not following, of not upholding corporate governance and adhering to the law when you are basically doing the same to us, and that was a big issue.
Lastly, let's talk about the hurdles that are still left to clear. I want to get your thoughts on, I'll use the word beef, right? As people in the Gen Z kind of, you know, describe it, that beef between Tetwa and Sasscock. The issue here is around Mteto's involvement. Sasscock saying they believe he overreached when he invoked Section 13.
Yes, yes, yes.
And ultimately, that was just a bullying tactic from the minister to ensure that the vote goes in a way that he would have wanted. What are your thoughts on the issues that may arise between Sasscock and the minister, and also, I suppose, where CSA's involvement will be in all of that?
I think there's going to be a lot of meetings going forward between Sasscock and CSA, because the minister initially... And that was the whole thing, was that the minister initially imposed Sasscock on CSA, and that related to the Vanduza report. Once that was completed, the minister then went with the independent board. But once the Vanduza report was basically made public, the understanding of the members' council was that was the issue with Sasscock. And only Sasscock, once Sasscock and CSA have a dispute, only they have a dispute, then... And Sasscock approaches the minister. That's generally the protocol. Sasscock and CSA, they have dealing. Why? Because Sasscock's the mother body. Once Sasscock understands that, once Sasscock realizes, oh, no, wait, there's no way forward and there's a dispute, they then take it to the minister. That is not how this transpired. It was the other way around. And that's where Sasscock was. They understand that they report to the minister, but they did not understand how the channels of communication were going, that they wouldn't come to the minister with a dispute, but yet the minister was getting involved. So that is a very prickly issue going forward in terms of their relationship, because as we know, Sasscock runs all sport in South Africa, and a few precedents may have been set across the board.
Listen, Zahir, thank you so much for coming on the phone line. I mean, all of this to say, we are glad that now there is some understanding and that our worst fears have been averted.
Thank you very much.
Brilliant.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. All right, so that there is Zahir.
This is Vision View Sports Radio.